This doesn't look really familiar to me. I think we're not at our office, we're somewhere else. We are in Labin, Istria. Domagoj, welcome.
Yes, you are in Labin. Also welcome and thank you for coming to our city and to our office.
This is an exclusive episode. We decided to, both you and I, to do something different. We decided to come here to Lois Digital. Yeah. Lois Digital is a software agency. And how did you actually get here? You're not originally from here, so how did you get here?
Yes, so I was born in Bjelovar, a small city near Zagreb. I was there 18 years, lived in Bjelovar, and then I went to Rijeka for studying, and I was living in Rijeka for 9 years, and then I met my wife, and then we moved to Istria. And now I live in a small village called Vozilici. And I opened the company 12 years ago here in Labin. At first it was a Obert, and then it became SME DOO, a real company. And yeah, we were like, I was a one-man band for 3.5 years. And then I started to employ new people. And yeah, today we are a 35 people company. Let's say that we are solid. We have good foundations. And we are a 35 people company for 2.5 years now. We didn't grow. We didn't scale the company, people, projects. But my decision and decision of my team leads was that we want to work on ourselves, on our processes and on quality. We want to, well, our holy grail is to be well known through quality and by quality. When I say that, when somebody asks somebody in the industry, some client or referral or some developer, oh, Lloyds did that they say, oh, Lloyds are good. It's their quality and what they deliver is good standards. So this is our vision.
Yeah, it's quite interesting to find a company like this in a small town, like this one, like Labin. Yeah, you know, yeah. It has maybe, 10,000 people with the surrounding areas?
Yes, I think it's 11,000 people is the city of Labin, and then with the surroundings, 20,000, 21, 22 maybe, with all the villages and all the area. But yeah, it's a really small town, yeah. And yeah, it's not usual to have this kind of company as we built here.
Yeah, and that's, you know, you're running a company and you're also running a conference. And that's actually how I found out about you a couple of years ago. You know, the conference name is Digital Labin. And you have a lot of people coming from different backgrounds, a lot of speakers. What you said, last year you had 500, 600 attendees.
800.
Yeah. Okay, that's a lot. And then you actually said you're going to scale it down to 600 because it's too big, or?
I said that I'm happy with 600 or 700. That's enough. Because last year it was really crowded. Wherever you went into the expo, into the tracks, outside, inside, it was a lot of people. And we can't even grew it more because of the infrastructure that we have.
What's the conference about, actually, before we dig in deeper? You know, what's the conference about? How did you get the idea, actually?
The idea was that I was frustrated with the airports. Yeah, 2016 and 17 and 18, I was traveling a lot to European conferences, famous conferences like the Next Web and ADV Awards and CeBIT, Hanover, Amsterdam, London. We are developers and etc. And every time that I went to the plane, they changed the gate in the last 30 minutes or 40 minutes, I don't know. And the breaking pot.
Breaking point.
Breaking point was in Hanover, when they changed the gate two times. In Frankfurt. In Frankfurt, on the way to Hanover. And I was like running, and I was crazy. And then I came back to Labin, and one day I just said, okay, Domagoj is not going to fly anymore to these cities. They will come here. And then everybody said, he's dreaming, blah, blah, blah. But then we did it. 2018, for the first time, and 180 people came. And it was really, really, really beautiful. We had like 7 or 8 speakers from all backgrounds: design, development, software, mobile, front end. We didn't then have project managers, but it was one track, 8 speakers, one day. And then we upgraded it next year to 2 tracks, and then the third year also 2 tracks, and then fourth year, last year, 3 tracks, 3 separate tracks with 20 plus speakers and panel discussions. And yeah, a lot of free alcohol and good time.
Who are you focusing on mainly? Like agency such as Decode and Lloyd Digital, or who's your main area of focus?
Definitely agencies like ours. So our attendees are mainly professionals, so mid to senior level. Last year, I think it was 30. The average number was 35 years of the whole attendees. We don't have many students or many like high school students. So yeah, the focus is on professionals that are working as developers, digital designers, or product owners, product managers in companies that are agencies or product companies also. So, but they are in some kind of team and they are building digital products. Let's say these are our attendees.
So people from many areas: research, design, software development, product management. A lot of I've checked the speakers topics that were there. A lot of them talk about the current challenges that the IT industry has. The every software agency has. Even the code we have. How to communicate with clients in a proper way. How to teach them something. How to understand their product. And one of the things that mainly when you're starting your product or project is getting the research, doing the research the right way. So what do you think about that? I mean, I know that when we were doing the prep for the episode, you mentioned one big issue regarding research.
Yeah, okay. It's not an issue. Let's say it's a big challenge, but I think it's also like a stigma or something like, in the community. So my company is 35 people. If you want to do research before you start doing some product discoveries and some wireframes, user experience design, and building features, if you want to do the research right, you need expert people, expert knowledge, and you need a lot of time. So it takes a lot of time to do it right. And then we had one project that we get, and then we didn't do the research, and then in the middle of the project we lost the project, and then we realized that research is really, really, really important. And then it was 1.5 years ago, and I was starting to phone all my friends from the industry, and I was looking for researchers, and because we are in really good relations. Yeah, we are in really good relationships with all the companies from Croatia. And I remember that I phoned Ivo from Netgen, because they are, let's say, famous for doing that, and they do it really good. And of course, Dauer from Resolute.
Resonate.
Davor from Resonate. Yeah. And as I was phoning all these friends from companies similar to mine, I found out that practically, I will not say that nobody is doing research, but it's not done in a quality, good way,
proper way,
as it should be. And then I realized that, and then I sat down with my team, and we said, okay, we are going to do this proper. And then, of course, that we had some workshops also with our, who is like an expert in this area. And I can say that now all our projects cannot start with that. So it's like a foundation, the first step to doing proper digital product.
Do you think that it's necessary always to do workshops? Because at Decode, you know, we sometimes do workshops with our clients who have difficulties, you know, just grasping what the product is about. Why do you need this technology? Why do you need to do this and that?
So in Lloyd's, we are not talking about technologies, because we do only PHP Laravel for the backend, only Vue.js Next, and only Nuxt.js, and only Next for the front end, like framework of React and Vue. In the mobile, it's React Native. Front end is, I will now just say a few more technical stuff because I love it. Our front end is very, let's say, technical, like top of the notch, really, really modern. It's on Vercel, and it's with TypeScript and with Tailwind. So when we are doing product discovery workshops, we are trying to get the team that will actually do the work to talk with the client about their business needs. That's like most important thing, to figure out what the business is about, what are the business processes, and then they can challenge them. Also, the client can challenge us. How will we help them to build something and to, let's say, automate business processes or do something with technology? We are the experts in coding, in user experience, in connecting third-party softwares with APIs, blah, 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 all this stuff. But the most challenging thing is to understand the business and the business needs. And this is very, product discovery workshops or product discoveries are very good for that. Even sometimes is also good to have it in pieces for, let's say, for every feature. But that's hard because clients want to know what is the scope of the whole project. And they when they ask a proposal, they want us all, let's say that all clients that are project-based, they want to know this is going to last for the six to 8 months, it will going to cost 100 to 200 something. And this is like the most challenging stuff, like doing estimation, doing it precise. So that's like a...
And that's very difficult to do.
That's a whole new world in our, maybe I would say one of the most challenging stuff, the most challenging things in our industry is to estimate something precise. I also think that comes with experience. But yeah, estimations. We can talk
hours about that,
yeah. I have some friends that have really powerful and successful companies where they sell to the clients like product teams, team augmentation, and they sell hours, and they sell also the product manager, and then that people are incorporated with their teams. That's also okay, but when a client comes and says, okay, I want to build a software, here is the specification from my side. We in Lloyd's, let's say that we never trust this this document. We are always challenging it, and we always want to talk more about it to see if there is anything that can be like a pain point, or that can change the direction of the project. But when a client wants a fixed deadline and a fixed cost and he wants it, these kind of clients are not also a good for us.
Yeah, they need to be open-minded.
They need to be open-minded, and I think also our job is to give them our perspective, and somehow we need to educate them. What are we doing? What is our job? Let's say not everybody, but a lot of people is talking about agile development. So agile, you develop something, then you test it, then you iterate, then you turn, and it goes in circle. So to sell that to client, to say, okay, we will build this feature for 2 months, but the whole project, I don't know how it can be 1 year, it could be one and a half year. That's very challenging, like to sell these kind of projects and that client believes you, have trust in you. But yeah, we somehow are managing to do that more efficiently as the time is passing by, because we have processes, we have references, we have something to show them, and from experience we can see from the start, is this a right fit or not?
Yes.
So yeah.
Yeah. Dauer mentioned in one of the episodes that product development is a continuous journey. It actually never ends. And the episode after that, we had our CEO Mark was talking about scope creep and what you mentioned. You know, when a client once said, "I'd like to have this feature, this functionality, this." Okay, but it's going to take 2 or 3 months more. Yeah. And then they're a bit, you know, confused. But why? I mean, it's such a simple thing. And sometimes it might not be.
Yeah. In 90% of the time, it's not.
Yeah.
Like, we are trying to do that in a way that because we do research and we do product discovery, and we also, the output of that is product documentation. It's like you are going to the construction company and you are asking them how much will this house be, and they ask you which house, and you say, so a house with 3 bedrooms and the living room without the basement. Maybe it will have a basement, maybe it will have 2 floors, but maybe it will not. The roof will be this, or it will be flat. I don't know, storage space, maybe. Yeah. They can't give you a price. You need to have, I don't know how it's in English, it's like idejni projekt, ideal price, first thing that they can give you the price. So in our company, we are also doing research, product discovery, or feature discovery, and then the output is project documentation. And in this project documentation, from our experience, we are trying always to scope the MVP, some minimum viable product or market product, minimum market product. So something that can go to market quickly, that is efficient, that's enough, and we are not going to spend 1 year to develop. Let's say that we can develop it in 4 months or in 6 months and then push it. And then all these features that are nice to have, or that are fit, we are putting them in phase two. And if client in the middle of the coding somewhere, let's say after 3 or 4 months, I want this feature, then we are trying to say, let's finish what we started and we will put it in phase two. We are not fans of putting it in the middle and then saying, oh, it will now be 1 month more.
Yeah, because it disrupts the whole project.
Disrupts everything, disrupts the backlog, the task management, Kanban boards, project managers, everything. But also, if we also didn't see it, and everybody is, we are, let's say, transparent and honest, and we will also, if we agree as a team, client, and we, wow, this is something really good, and it can really benefit, let's do it, then also we can do it. But let's say that that's in 20% of the time, and in 80% of the time is always, let's do what we scoped and what it's in the document. We are fans also of writing everything down. I think that's also important. But as I'm now also talking on English with you, maybe it would be easier in Croatian to explain everything, but this is also very nice. It takes a lot of time to even start drawing something. So a lot of time. And that will also bring the budget up. And some clients don't understand, don't see the value, or get a proposal from another company that doesn't have that in their cost. And then it's hard to close the deal.
One of our first guests is from Dubai, a tech advisor. He mentioned the same things you mentioned now. And he had the example of a house. You can build a house, but you know, you also have to have windows, you have to have floor, and the same goes for applications. And he said the same thing, you know, different companies have different estimates. Somebody's going to offer you, I can build this app for 20K. Somebody's going to say, I can build it for 80K.
Yeah.
How, you know? And one of the things he also mentioned was app maintenance. You know, when you build an app or software, it doesn't end there. You always have to, you know, revisit the code, see if everything's functioning. You will have bugs, you have,
yes,
you know,
always.
Many things. So it doesn't end there. So the client needs to be aware that it's you have to take care after your software, and it's going to take care after you.
Definitely, I agree. Even from my experience, maintenance is not something that it's hard for us, and it's not making us making headaches for us. We are handling it very, very, very good, I would say. But the most challenging thing from my experience here in Lois is scalability. That's something that I saw a lot of times, that somebody builds something and then the client wants to scale up the product because the business is also growing, and they want to add another feature or connect to some other software or do something that's has never been done, never been talked about before, and now the company is in like, oh, we can't do that, you shouldn't think of that earlier. That, from my perspective, in today's technology, is something that doesn't need to happen. And I think that companies that are quality and that are doing really good structure and architecture and everything, and are thinking about a lot of things, that they should always be able to scale the product. I said should be always. Of course, there are sometimes big software and big systems and big apps that maybe cannot be done, something need to be rewritten, refactored, or anything. But I think that the scalability is the real real value proposition that we are also giving to our clients. When I'm pitching, I'm always showing cases where we started with somebody and then in 5 years it was something completely different, and we incorporated all their digital and technical stuff, and then you can say, if you are working with somebody for, I don't know, 5 years or like Infinum is doing 18 years with A1. I saw it on LinkedIn. That's like, wow. then you are really a technology partner for that client.
Yeah, you need to be product minded. That's what we say at Decode. You know, if a client comes and has, you know, a project, don't just build it then, you know, build it, but you also have to think about the future of the product, because it doesn't stop there. And there's more potential, you know, for a new business opportunity, because I talked about that with Dover. Uber started, you know, with just cars, and then Uber Eats and all the other things. So the product can always, you know, develop in some other way.
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to ask you about design. Last week, I was talking to one of our designers, and she mentioned that sometimes clients need to be aware, you know, they need to know the importance of the design of the app. They need to understand what's happening.
Oof, yeah, that's also... So in this 5 to 7 years of experience that we build a lot of front-end web application, web pages and e-commerce and mobile apps, we are now in a stage where we really believe that that we shouldn't talk about if something is pretty. If we are going to talk about if you like this color and your thoughts about this picture or a palette or a gradient, something, button, shadow, I don't know, padding, border radius or
anything. Yeah.
It's like really a wrong subject to talk about. Let's talk about user experience. Let's talk about where we should put that button and what it will need to do in a user flow that user will have customer experience better. And that's it. Don't talk about, and this is what I'm also when I'm talking to our clients, I'm also incorporating this idea to them, and also on real case studies. But there are always clients that think that they know better, and they think that this needs to be done in their way, or they have some marketing agency that thinks that this is better.
Sorry for interrupting, and that's a different thing, marketing and developing the app, you know?
Yeah, but... yeah. But
it is connected in some way, but...
It's connected a lot, but I love when a really good and quality marketing agency comes and they done the research and they come and they say something and they critique the work with let's say data. That's 100% reasonable, and we will talk. But if somebody is just saying, "I don't like this shirt. This black color is too much black," then we need to put the ball down, go in reverse or park mode, and talk about it.
Yeah.
But yeah. But let's say that we had this kind of clients before, because before we also did a lot of creative websites, animations, AVV, and all of that. Now we are focusing really to build quality, solid products that will have customer experience, driven to research, driven by research, driven by data, driven by analytics. And yeah, it's like when you look at every good mobile app out there, I will not say that they are all copy-paste, but settings, you know where the setting button is, put it there. User profile, forgot password, login with LinkedIn. You know how the buttons need to be and where they need to be. Don't make them somewhere where nobody is expecting that. So we are in a stage where we are doing where we are focusing on user experience, customer experience, and not so in UI that it needs to be beautiful. It needs to look good and sexy. But this is a little more important, maybe. just a tiny little bit.
Couldn't agree more. One of the things that we mentioned before we started recording is designers being, let's say, compliant with software developers, you know, and we can switch to software development a bit. You know, software developers need to understand and know what the designer wants. Sometimes something can be too difficult to build.
Yes.
In a way that, okay, this button might look nice, but when you click it, it changes color, whatever, something, but it might take 2-3 days, you know,
yes,
to build it. So that's something, you know, that we talked about, you know, that designers and developers need to be on the same page and understand each other really good, you know, to build something.
Yes, and we experienced it, that pain, a lot of times. Like we were thinking that we are going to build, let's say, five years ago. When Atso will listen to this, he will know, and all the front-end developers, we were looking at some AVV awards websites, and then I think that Bornfight studio, it was a studio, it was Bornfight, they also did something, some really good, powerful stuff, I think was with trees, and you could plant a tree, and it was Barba.js, something like, I think it was Barba.js, and then we want to implement that Barba.js, it's like crazy animations, everything is sliding, everything is coming, you are, it's like, when a new iPhone is coming and then the Apple page is like parallax scrolling, I don't know what, scroll hijacks, and then we do that, and it was always designers think of something creatively, and they design it in Figma, or then was Sketch, maybe Figma was maybe not so popular five years ago, but then some of them maybe animate something. Now you can animate in Figma, but then it was like so. And then front-end developer needs to develop, and it takes so much time. If you would put all the hours and put like a hourly rate of 50 euros or 60 or 70, I don't know, it would cost like the cost of the website would be like crazy amount. So now, today, we are more in efficiency. Efficiency, do it fast. And to answer the question, our designers are 100% talking and communicating with software developers all the time. Also, in our company, I don't know how it sells, but in our company, designers are also in some way feature builders. We have, let's say, Eddie, our lead UX designer. If he's drawing and doing user experience design, we will even not call it anymore user experience. Let's call it product design. If he's doing product design of some software or some dashboard or backend, and he's talking with client how the feature is going to work, what it will going to work, he's also talking with software developer here in Lloyds, if we are doing both. If we are not doing both, then he's in communication with their developer team. For us, here it's quite normal to have communication designers, software developers. So yes, in the past, we also designed something that couldn't be done, but every time it couldn't be done, but it's too complex, or it will take 2 months or 2 weeks to develop this. Let's scale it down and let's build it the same functionality, but a little bit less complex. Now we are doing efficiency.
Right, and it also goes the same for backend. You know, when clients sometimes aren't aware that the amount of data an app needs to, or software needs to process is huge. You know, it might not have a lot of work on the front end, but on back end, it might be a completely different story.
Yeah, software development is like also subject. data migration, I would say, from our experience. In Lloyd's, we are building quite a lot products from scratch. So we have clients that are coming to us and they don't have anything. But we also have some projects that we need to migrate some data, the old data from some old systems to, let's say, a new system. That's always challenging. That's always, especially if all the softwares or all databases are, if they are in XML, then I don't know. But yeah, everything can be done. But when you are talking to a client and you say that migrating of this data will cost X, and he sees the total cost of the whole project, and this is a big chunk, then they are always and also in software development, I think I saw that so a lot of features, a lot of good written user stories, really to the point, can be coded in different way by different engineer, and sometimes can be even understood differently. Let's say that the project manager and let's say that the backend developer can understand the same text, the same feature in two way. This is also why they need to constantly be communicating. So communication. Not, I remember 7 years ago when we got one big project, when we started, I think that Ricardo, no, it was not even a Laravel framework, it was plain PHP, and we were coding software for cinemas, like for buying tickets, ticket system for cinema.
Ticket system.
Oh, it was really challenging. It was really crazy. It was like, you see just, okay, somebody will go to the front end and he will pick a time, he will pick the city, he will pick the movie, and then he will pick the seat. But so much complexity under the hood. It was really challenging, yeah.
Because all of the data that had to be processed.
Yeah. Because of the data, but this project maybe not the data, but the feature, just the features. We were just starting as a company. We were very young. But what I wanted to say that sometimes, even now, you can see some project and it can look on the first, very simple. Like, oh, this looks very simple. We can do this very fast. It will not take a lot of our experience and knowledge. And then
it's sneaky.
And then you start and you dig deeper. And then you dig more deeper and more deeper and more deeper, and then
where's the end?
And then there is no end. And the projects in Lloyd's that were the most, let's say, failed, they were all fixed budget and fixed price, and everybody can from this now get some kind of experience and try to not do that, because in 99% of the time somebody will lose money, or client or you, but I think that the agency will be, because it's especially if a project is from the start something big that needs to be developed and you see that it's big, always try to negotiate, let's say, for 2 or 3 months, and then we will see product discoveries, feature requests, blah blah blah, and then we will go, and then after that we will see how much it will cost and iterate that every 2 months and do some sprints, not because fixed price.
So you're leaning more towards time and material.
Yeah, I'm leaning more to that. I know that that it's hard for some of the clients, because clients always want to have a budget, because they have a CFO that has Excel table and he needs to put some numbers there. But let's say that you will communicate the price, but let's say that it will be in range, it will not be fixed. And let's say that it can go up and down 10, 15%, maybe even 20%, because we don't know yet. But yeah, this is the most challenging thing in our industry, doing the estimation and trying to sell our time to clients, and
gaining trust,
yeah. Of course. But I want to say that you can't always know when something will be done. And you maybe think we will do this in 1 month, and then come some blockers, and then it's 2 months. And what now? Your estimation is wrong. So,
and also you have other projects that are coming, you know, that are going to come soon, and you have to start working on that.
Yeah, this is really crazy. And also one of the challenges in project-based agencies or software development companies, because clients also need to understand that revenue is our oxygen, and that we need new projects to even be alive and to get the salaries, and that every inefficient, time-delayed project, waiting for feedback, waiting for content, waiting for anything, for us is losing money in the long term. If we are losing money in the long term, then when you will send us an email or you will phone us, nobody will be there. So this, what you now expressed and pointed out, this is really a challenge. So getting projects, closing them, doing them in time, and when finished, have a new one ready. And then if a client wants continuous development and he wants new feature in 2 months and you don't have the resources, then you are balancing multiple balls, and then it's really hard for our kind of companies. This is also why I see a lot of product companies emerging. It's challenging, but it's something that we love to do. So I would say that for Lloyds is also one of the strategic goals, I would say, is to lower the number of clients. Because as I was talking, I was a one-man band doing Joomla sites and HTML sites in Dreamweaver. And I had, like, in 3 years, I was really good at sales. So I had one server on Avalon or Plus Hosting. It was a reseller VHM with multiple cPanels, but I put all the websites in one cPanel, and I had, I think, 250 domains. Like, it was websites for small companies, restaurants, villas, houses, apartments, and I had 250 clients. And even then, if 10 of them call you that day and ask you to change something, you can't do it. You don't have the time, the capacity, you need to sleep. So I would say that in agency, project-based companies, it would be the goal would be to have a strategic partnership companies that you are really bringing them value, and you are like their digital right hand, like digital team that is incorporated in their business logics, and then you can live and maybe grow even every year with a smaller number of clients.
One of the things that I've learned through, you know, when I'm recording this podcast is that almost every guest says one thing. Always be ready to adapt. You know, both from your side and from the client side, because that's how things are going to work out.
Definitely.
And always be product minded. You know, because it's going to be easier for both you and the client. It's March now. There's 6 more months to digital lobbying. How's everything going? Just to wrap everything up.
Oh, now. Not more hard subjects,
because we're gonna hear those good subjects at good the conference. So just to maybe wrap it out in a more I won't say positive note, but in a something
lighter
else. Yeah, in a lighter note.
Lighter, yeah. Relaxed. Oh yeah. So digital lobbying is going really good. We have already 70% of the speakers locked up. The thing is that from the infrastructural background of the city of Labin, we can't be
scale it up.
We could maybe to 100 people, but that would be like crazy.
pushing it.
So my idea and my vision for this year is to make it as the last, nothing extra. Except I would like to hire a little bit more the project management track with maybe a little stage and the better screen. Because this year it was the speaker. He was on the ground in the same as the chair.
Same level. Yeah,
in the same level. And it was a projector.
Okay.
On the wall. It was also good. It was super. But let's say that project management tracks maybe deserves, because it was full, deserves an upgrade in a stage and LED screen. But that's it. Everything else the same.
Mm-hmm.
Free alcohol, free lunch, speakers from all around the world, top notch, masterclasses on Friday, maybe on Friday, when we have master classes, the workshops, there will be one surprise, but I will not say now.
Okay.
People need to like
wait,
wait, and yeah, follow us on all the social network, and we will put in there, I think.
Yeah. So everything that we talked about today, people can come to the conference and hear pretty much the same subjects. You know, talk about. Other experts.
Definitely.
Dolga, thank you very much for being the guest on this special episode. We're doing something a little bit different that's interesting for us, and I think both for you. Thank you for coming on the roadmap, and I hope I'll see you again.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for coming to Labin. I would just say that we are in this floor of this building that we're. This building was mining.
A mining town. Lapin is a mining town, and this
mining
is
a town.
Yeah, mining.
And on this floor was all the bosses and all the chemists and all the engineers.
Yeah, I don't know if the viewers can see the table, but we have charcoal over here.
That's what you said.
42 years old.
Yeah, from Russia. Yeah. I don't know if I. It's good. So thank you for coming to Labin, and see you in September
or
in Zagreb. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, see you.